Welcome to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I'm Eric Cadell, the co-head of S&C's Foreign Investment and Trade Regulation Practice.
And I'm Chris Mann, Eric's co-head of the practice.
Today we're going to be talking about Treasury's recent interim final rule implementing for the first time filing fees for notices that are submitted to the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, or CFIUS. CFIUS is charged with reviewing foreign investment in the United States for national security purposes. The filing fees will apply on a scale based on transaction value, and at the highest range, transactions valued at or above $750 million, the fee is $300,000. There can be some lower fees if transactions are valued below $750 million. We'll explain that a little bit later. Chris, do you want to lay out the background to this rule for us?
Sure, Eric. We've known filing fees were coming. It's just taken a little while to get here. Just to go back in time, almost 2 years now. In August 2018, the Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act, which I think everybody now knows as FIRMA, became law. FIRMA was the most significant reform of the CFIUS process in a decade. And among those things, the law expanded CFIUS's jurisdiction to include new types of transactions, especially non-controlling but non-passive investments by a foreign person in certain types of sensitive U.S. business, referred to as the defined term is covered investments under the implementing regulation. And second, purchases, leases, or concessions by or to a foreign person of certain real estate in close proximity to military or other sensitive national security facilities, referred to in the regulations as covered real estate transactions. So FIRMA also included an authorization for CFIUS for the first time to impose filing fees for notices filed with the committee. Treasury's final regulations implementing the bulk of FIRMA's reforms became effective on February 13th of this year, but those regulations didn't implement the filing fees provisions of FIRMA. Treasury issued the interim final rule implementing FIRMA's filing fee authorization on April 28th, and the rule became effective on May 1, 2020.
Thanks, Chris. The rule establishes filing fees for written notices that are submitted on or after May 1 that relate to transactions entered into on or after February 13, 2020. That February 13, 2020 date is important because that is the date that the final rules implementing the majority of the FIRMA reforms took effect. And according to those final rules, any transaction that was entered into prior to that February 13, 2020 date are subject to the old CFIUS regulations, the pre-February 13 regulations, and thus are not subject to the filing fees. Transactions that are entered into on or after February 13, though, even if the parties had gone through the pre-filing process with CFIUS, had filed a draft written notice prior to May 1, they're going to be subject to filing fees. So the interesting thing here is that filing fees by rule are not the responsibility of one or the other party. Going forward, now that the rules are out, we'd expect the filing fees likely will be part of negotiations, at least in some cases, especially minority investments, as opposed to outright acquisitions of companies. But likely they would not have been addressed by contract for this gap period between February 13, 2020 and May 1, 2020. So there may be some post-signing negotiations that parties are undergoing in order to allocate fees amongst themselves. It's just a practice tip to take a look for if you are faced with that scenario.
Filing fees apply only to the filing of a written notice of transaction to CFIUS. No filing fees required with respect to three categories of submissions or processes. First, declarations, which are short forms of the typical notice that require less detailed information and are subject to a condensed timeline for CFIUS review, but could also result in filing a written notice. This is the new voluntary declaration regime that was implemented by FIRMA and the regulations. Second, unilateral review of a transaction initiated by a CFIUS member agency through the submission of an agency notice. And third, CFIUS approved resubmissions of withdrawn notices unless CFIUS determines that it'll be required to consider new information due to a material change to the transaction or a material inaccuracy or omission made by the parties in the information provided to the committee, in which case the parties could be required to pay the fee again. So those three categories, short-form declarations, unilateral review, and a CFIUS approved resubmission of withdrawn notices outside that limited exception I just described, do not require filing fees. Eric, do you want to lay out the schedule of fees briefly?
Sure, Chris, thanks. This is something that probably will be easier for our listeners to digest if they just pull open the rule or access our memo from the sulcrom.com website and look at it graphically. But let me run through the structure of the tiered fixed fee allocations that are based on the values of the relevant transaction. The fees are going to range from zero in some cases to $300,000. And here's the schedule. Any transaction valued at less than $500,000, no fee is required. Transactions valued at $500,000 or greater, but less than $5 million, the fee is going to be $750. Transactions that are valued at $5 million or greater, but less than $50 million, the fee is going to be $7,500. For transactions valued at $50 million or greater, but less than $250 million, fee is going to be $75,000. Transactions valued at $250 million or greater, but less than $750 million, the fee is $150,000. And finally, for transactions that are valued at or above $750 million, the fee will be $300,000. Fee must be paid electronically in U.S. dollars in accordance with instructions that are posted on the CFIUS website. And importantly, for parties who are undergoing this process, CFIUS's receipt of the filing fee is now a precondition to CFIUS formally accepting notice for review. This means that although the parties might submit the notice prior to paying the applicable fee, the 45-day review period won't start until the fee has been paid. In other words, your case will not be, quote, on the clock, close quote, until you have your money in to CFIUS. A couple other interesting things. As a general matter, Treasury has said that they will only provide refunds of filing fees if CFIUS determines that a notified transaction either is not a covered transaction or a covered real estate transaction, so meaning it's not subject to CFIUS jurisdiction at all. In that case, they will refund your fee. The rule also permits parties to petition the CFIUS staff chair to seek a partial refund of fees. The parties can demonstrate that they paid a filing fee in an amount greater than required at the time of filing. In other words, they got the value of the transaction wrong, but this is likely to be a very limited practical application. Those are the basics for the fees and the schedule. Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about how the value of a transaction is to be calculated under the rules?
Sure, Eric. This is getting a little bit into the weeds, but I think it'll be useful for some listeners. Although the rules for calculating the value of a transaction for a CFIUS filing fee are not identical to the purpose for calculating the value of a transaction under the HSR antitrust process, the differences are not particularly significant. As Eric noted, given the structure of the CFIUS filing fee scale, the calculation principles won't necessarily matter in a significant number of cases. What I mean by that is that, as Eric noted, any large M&A transaction going through the CFIUS process, i.e., it's got a value in excess of $750 million, qualifies for the largest fee, which is $300,000. So in any event, I'm going to run through a few valuation principles announced by CFIUS in the text that accompanies the rule and then the rule itself. Just a quick note on terminology. there were two sets of regulations promulgated. We'll refer to Part 800 and Part 802 of the CFIUS regs. Part 802 of the CFIUS regs applies only to covered real estate transactions or transactions for the purchase of covered real estate where there is no U.S. business. For transactions notified to CFIUS under Part 800 of the CFIUS regs, the all other category, as well as for purchases of covered real estate notified to CFIUS under Part 802 of the regs as a covered real estate transaction. Notice I said purchases of covered real estate. Other types of real estate transactions would not be included in this category. The rule is pretty straightforward. It essentially defines the value of the transaction to be the total value of all consideration provided in the context of the transaction, regardless of its form. And the issuing release makes clear that consideration includes any kind of in-kind consideration, includes intangible assets in any form. Now, what did I leave out? I left out leases or concessions of covered real estate. Those would be leases or concessions as opposed to purchases of real estate. They also fall under Part 802. The rule provided separate guidance. For leases, the value of the transaction is the sum of all fixed payments, variable payments that depend on an index or rate, and non-cash consideration to be provided by the foreign person over the term of the lease. For concessions with respect to covered real estate, the value of the transaction is the sum of all rent, fees, and charges to be paid by the foreign person, along with any non-cash consideration to be provided by the foreign person over the term of the concession agreement. Eric, can you talk about some other aspects of valuing transactions?
Sure, Chris, I'd be happy to. I'll talk about two particular clarifications, those that are with respect to multiple phase and contingent equity interest transactions. And I'll turn it back to you. Where a transaction is to be effectuated in multiple phases, the value of the transaction, according to the CFIUS rules, will include the total value of each phase as may be reasonably determined as of the date that the parties file the notice. So if you've got three different investment periods potentially before effecting your complete transaction, then your filing fee will have to look at each of those three phases. You won't be able to just pay the fee on the value of your first phase. When the transaction involves the acquisition of a contingent equity interest, then value of the transaction is going to include the consideration that was paid by or on behalf of the foreign person to acquire that contingent equity interest, as well as other consideration that will be paid in connection with the conversion of the interest, provided that two conditions are met. The conditions that lead to conversion will occur imminently and are within the control of the acquiring party, and consideration for the interest to be acquired upon conversion can be reasonably determined at the time of the acquisition. That rule for contingent equity interest transactions is generally consistent with how CFIUS looks at contingent equity transactions generally for jurisdictional purposes. If the transaction is such that conversion will occur imminently and it's within control of the acquiring party, a transaction can be subject to current review. If something is indefinite and not within the control of the acquiring party, it may be that there is no jurisdiction of the over the transaction now. It may be that jurisdiction will have to wait until such time as the conversion conditions are satisfied. Let me turn it back to Chris.
Okay, so yeah, that's an important point, Eric. The rule provides guidance regarding how parties should determine the value of particular types of consideration for the purposes of calculating the value of a transaction for CFIUS purposes. In general, the guidance is the same for all types of covered transactions, but let's just highlight a few places where the guidance differs for covered real estate transactions. First, where consideration includes securities that are traded on a national securities exchange, the rule specifies that the value of those securities should be calculated based on the closing price on the national securities exchange on which the securities are primarily listed on the trading day immediately prior to the date the parties file the written notice. Or if the securities were not traded on that day, the last published closing price.
Great. and where consideration includes other non-cash assets, services, interests, or other in-kind consideration, the value of that consideration for purposes of the CFIUS filing fee rule is going to be fair market value as of the date the parties file the notice. The rule defines fair market value as the price that would be paid or received in an orderly transaction between market participants. Parties will generally be permitted to rely on the last valuation presented in financial statements that are prepared in accordance with GAAP or other widely accepted accounting principles, or on an independent appraisal that occurred within the prior two fiscal quarters. And for services, parties are permitted to rely on the party's determination set forth in an executed written agreement, an estimate based on rates charged to third parties, or recent industry reports or similar sources of commercial data.
Where the transaction is or includes a loan or similar financing arrangement, the consideration includes the cash value of the loan or arrangement made available or provided by or on behalf of the foreign person. And finally, where the transaction includes the conversion of a previously acquired contingent equity interest, the consideration includes the consideration that was paid by or on behalf of the foreign person to acquire that contingent equity interest, as well as any other consideration paid or to be paid in connection with the conversion.
In addition to the guidance on valuing specific types of consideration, the rule provides a number of exceptions to the general definitions of the value of a transaction that we mentioned earlier. First, where the consideration to be provided by the foreign person has not been or cannot be reasonably determined as of the date the parties file the written notice, the value of the transaction is fair market value of the interest being acquired in the transaction as of the date that the parties file the written notice. For covered real estate transactions, or Part 802 transactions, this valuation applies for purchases of covered real estate, but for leases or concessions of covered real estate with respect to which consideration cannot be determined, the rule simply provides that the filing fee is $750. There are a couple additional exceptions that apply only to transactions that are notified to CFIUS under the Part 800 rules. So, in other words, that don't apply to the covered real estate transactions. First, where a transaction involves a merger or the contribution of one or more U.S. businesses to a joint venture, the value of the transaction is the fair market value of the U.S. business or businesses that are being merged or contributed. Note that in most cases, the value of these types of transactions will most likely be the negotiated transaction price, which should represent the party's good faith estimate of the fair market value of the transaction, at least in the context of a merger. In the context of a contribution to a joint venture, there may be additional calculations that need to be made. It may not be purely within a negotiated transaction price because you may have contributions on the one end of a U.S. business and then contributions of cash or other items of value on the other side of the joint venture. And it may be harder to simply rely on a negotiated transaction price in that case.
Okay, so that was the first exception under 800. Second is if a transaction valued at $5 million or more includes the acquisition or contribution of one or more non-U.S. businesses, and the fair market value of the U.S. business or businesses being acquired or contributed is less than $5 million, then the applicable filing fee is $750. So that sums up the substance of the new rule for those who are still listening through some of those details. Eric, we should just note in closing that despite the seeming complexity of the rule with respect to calculating the value of a transaction for CFIUS purposes, we expect, and Treasury actually noted this itself when it issued the proposed rule, that the calculation will be relatively straightforward for the large majority of transactions notified to CFIUS, because the value, as we said a couple of times, will simply be the negotiated price the foreign person is paying in the transaction. We should also mention that in light of the challenges presented by the coronavirus pandemic during the initial comment period on the proposed rule, Treasury opted to issue this rule as an interim final rule and allow further comments until June 1st. So it's possible we'll see some further changes to the rule in response to comments received over the next 3 weeks or so.
Great. And I agree, that does sum it up for us. Thank you, everyone, for listening to S&C Critical Insights. If you are interested in more information on this topic, please go to www.sullcrom.com, where we have a recent memo dated May 1, 2020, entitled CFIUS Filing Fees. Please feel free to reach out to either of us if you have any questions about CFIUS filing fees or any other CFIUS matters. Thanks very much.